Mikimi, Loishivi, Moishivi, all of the different nuschos of the of David HaMelech, and he says it splits into different anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of each one is its own anhaga. We saw two things, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above everything, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with everything. It's two anhagas. And then three anhagas, we spoke about Chesed, Din, and Rachmim. One is a person gets absolutely only what he deserves. A second anhaga is that a person gets without whatsoever keshet to him, just like a sparkle's largesse, and that's called chesed. And there's a third meter, which is somewhere in the middle, it's called rachmim. It somehow fits the person's abilities, needs, and so on. And like we said, like David said, rachmim needs a person to be rachmim on. And I need to have the rachmim somewhere also to the person we spoke, tefillah and so on. I want to speak about another nekuda, because this is a very important inyan. It's something that's one of the shrushim of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Haggis. The pasuk in this parsha that deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midav rachmim is Meikshivi Akeres Abayis Eim Abonis Meich Haluka. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an Akeres Abayis, gives the children to be together with everybody else, and Eim Abonis Meich. So this is the midah of Rachmim applies to that. The morale explains because it's not something you deserve, but on the other hand, you're missing it. If you don't have it, it's something that we can call a chisar. A few points. And then we'll try to speak about something about it. We said that tefillah is called rachmim. And tefillah has to be specific to things that a person really needs. That no person can ask for something that he feels is just a whim. You can't say, Mashem, I'd like to have a yat. Would you, you know, could you make me one? Could you get me one? There's no tefillah for that. Maybe they make up tefillahs for it. But our opponent, there's no chazal didn't give us such a type of tefillah. They give us tefillahs, things that are coordinated with things that are real tzrachim. Demabit, when he defines tefillah, one of the things that he talks about is tzrachov, other mivakesh tzrachov, and so on. Fine. You find tefillah very much associated with having children. We learn many halachas of tefillah from Chana, which is all about having children. And that became the marker for learning the oifin of tefillah. You find Vayetar Yitzchak. The tefillah was specific to having children. Tefillah is very much associated with having children. Well, there are many other tzrachim, and yet these are the ones that I mentioned mefurish. The word for having a child, the organ for having a child is called a rechem, which definitely comes from, is dovetails with the shorish rachmim. The pashat understanding would be that rachamim is a sort of a feeling, an emotion most strongly expressed by a mother and a child. So rechem, whatever is comes from a rechem, she's merachema. That would be a simple etymological explanation of where the word comes from. But there is, I mean, this is the marker for something which is an HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ikan haga. Of the three anhagas, rachmim is the main one. And that's associated with the rechem, associated with mother and with children, and so on. The answer is, if we ask ourselves, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon most specifically reflect itself in the Bria? In other words, if I were to point to something and identify that with this is Ritzono Yisbarach, how would I describe it? So the things that are already in existence, I can't call that Ritzono, that is. But these are the things that are there. you know, something that exists exists. Rotzen means not that it exists, but that it is something which is desired. Something which will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaChesed is not Rotzen, you know, it's not something I can identify because it has no Shaychus to the Bria Be'etzim. The place where I call something is Ritzoyne Yisbarach are the things that are waiting to be produced in the Bria. The Bria carries with itself a lot of things that are latent, that are bekoyach, they're not befall. And the sum total of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is that all of the items in the Bria, the potential in the Bria actualize itself. That's where the word Ratzon applies itself most sharply to. The things that have already been actualized, they came about Bertzono, they're no longer Ratzon, they're the things. If I ask somebody, what do you wish for? A guy says, a house. Well, you have a house, but I wished for it, fine. But now it's not a wish, it's a house. Things that you're going to get, but you don't have the potential, but you're not wishing for it. It's things that you have a makom for it, and therefore it means you have potential. The things that a person has potential for, a person's innermost desires are focused on bringing out his potential. A person feels that he's that didn't realize himself, that's the strongest feeling of disappointment. And a person's sense of realizing himself is the strongest sense of simcha. It says by Chana, when she asked for a child, it says that she was matiach dvarim klapei mala. She said, Shadayim elu lama, rechem zu lama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me organs. What are all these organs for? They're not extra. The answer is these organs. What she was saying was, this is the potential you created for me, and therefore I know it's your rotzen. If you gave me these evarim, then these evarim need to have a realization. If you take a look, for instance, by Rachel, it's much deeper. She says, "Havli banim vim ayin mesa noichi." It means she realized her entire metzias, not only her rechem and shadayim and so on, as being the potential for something. She recognized, Rachel Imenu recognized her entire metzias as being a hechetimtz of someone. And it goes a lot to the name of Chava, which is Eim Kol Chai. In other words, Chava's metzias is what she'll bring forth into the world. In a certain sense, much more keenly than Adam. Adam is named after Sheirish. Chav is named after what potential she has. So the metzias of Rachamim and Debriya, which is to bring out whatever needs to find its makom in Debriya. And those are the things that are defined as chisaron. If I have potential to eat one suda a day and I'm missing the suda, that's my chisaron. If I have a potential, my appetite needs to eat one suda, and someone brings me a second suda, that suda is not fulfilling any needs. That suda doesn't fall in the rachmi. So needs and potential are the same thing. My needs are the things that I potentially need, and that will be fulfilled. So the midah of Meshivya Keres Habayis Eim Avonu Smecha, it's a statement of something which is it's not only a particular need. Someone who needs children, it's a tremendous need, it's a tremendous, and so on. Meshivya Keres Habayis Eim Avonu Smecha is every single person basher the fact that he is a, he's a person with potential to be moiled something. Every person is a moiled nebriya, and if he's not moiled, he's an akar, and that's the biggest tzar. So Moshiach Kazmasan is the anhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of bringing out the Bria potential, and everyone shows su as the high point. Okay, so he sums up over here. L'chein, oise chilik beinayim. I once saw, you know, sometimes, I mean, Chassidim had a way of speaking in metaphor. There was a Chassidish Sefer. I think actually it was the Likutei Maran, if I'm not mistaken, that writes that they should print a lot of copies, leaving them around, because that way an Akara might read it, and it's a school of having children. So if you take it flat out as it says, okay, I don't know, that requires a certain type of munus chachamim. But if you think about it in terms of, you know, the person saying there are a lot of people who haven't given birth to anything, and you know the person writes, hopefully, you know, my thing will stimulate a person to give birth something, to produce something. Okay, so he sums up over here in the second column on Kufayin Dalet. L'chein, oise chilik b'neim b'hem shechayudin, that after Mbir L'Shevas, he's a mashpil l'rois, kashka chose b'koilhi, umani goloma b'shloshe dvorim im chesed din v'rachmim, hara yishkan chamish dvorim shem yishlam an hoge, echot she yochel al koil, af al agvoyim, v'm loikin loyachas v'sholom koyach b'yore lanhigam, one, v'zeh mbir L'Shevas, she yoyshe b'govim roim lanhigam nimtsoyim, hasheni, that's the second argument. The Yud is Mechalik the Hemshech. I want to he had one more point here. He says before Hamagbil Shavis, Hamashpil Liras Hashem Varetz. Normally, for instance, we've spoken about the Brach of Atta Kodesh. Atta Kodesh is there to sort of counteract the Broch of Atta Gibor. A person's Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of Atta Gibor L'Olam Hashem, it sounds like everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is within this world. So you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring Shomim, you're Samach Novlim, you're Fecholim, and so on and so forth. You're great and fantastic. It sounds as if that's the sum total of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is involved in this world. There's nothing else to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say Atta Kodesh V'Shimcha Kodesh, that, you know, what we've said is what we observe. We know that you're beyond that and so on. That's the understanding about the Kodesh. That's why we say it as a following Atta Gibor. Over here, it means something else. If you take a look at the way he says it, we start Rambam Bir Shabbos. In Shemini Esrei, we finish. We speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu Elokei Avos, so we Meshayach Kodesh Baruch Hu does. We speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu being a Gibor in the world, so we paint a picture of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then we say Atta Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh. That's sort of, but we know that really Leilo Leilo Mikol B'Chosev Shiros and so on. That's the flow of it there. So the right place, it's what we would call a snatzlus in Hebrew, a sort of an apology of sorts, a disclaimer. We're saying that, you know, yes, we've spoken about you in this world, but you're really beyond it and so on. That's not the flavor over here. We start with it. And he says something over here. Ha'echot shu yochol al kol af lagvoyim, v'im loikein lo yachas v'sholom kuyach b'yor lanhige. V'zeh ha'magbir lo shavis, sh'esh v'gom roim lehani kol ha'nimtsoyim. Ha'sheni kodez ha'pchusim ha'shfolim. Over here we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhoge on el yoinim as well. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits up there and is menaye golamoy. And so ha'magbir lo shavis means he's even able to be maneg l'malo. And a mashpil l'irnos, he's lamata also. So the way he explains it is, it's tan hoge over yonim, hoge over tachtonim. The reason why we would say it as a shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this context is because it says that by Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pegea not only in tachtonim, it's pegea in yonim as well. In other words, the Sarai Shel Esav, the Sarai Shel Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, it's like the Moshe, if you were to chop out weeds, if you cut weeds, if you leave the root, it's a few days till you have it there again. So the Hanhaga of El Yoinim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishtalit on El Yoinim, is able to take out the root from El Yoinim, is something which gives it down Lamata a certain finality and so on. That's one way of understanding it. I'd like to understand it a little bit differently, not quite the way he says it, but using the same structure, Mabir L'Sheves, HaMashpil L'Rois, and so on. Let's take something, an example in Chinuch. You have two types of educator, teacher, etc. You have one person in a very high madrega, but he can't reach down to the Talmidim where they are. He doesn't have the language, the mindset, the whatever it is, he's not shaykh to them. There's a second type of person that's very shaykh to them, but there's not much more ways to take him to. He's a best and a first amongst equals. He has the same mindset, the same dargah of das, the same everything. Okay, you know, he's the older brother. The shleimus of anhaga is where you have a magbil shaves and a mashpil liros. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lemala, and his hanhaga comes from something above and beyond, and yet mashpil liros, then he can be taking us. That's where he's taking us to. Now, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga is, it deals with day-to-day life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's memes, mechaya, goyel, poida, and so on. He's mashpil lirois. But where is that hanhaga taking you? He's taking you to the magbil shavas. It's one of the reasons why, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagas, what they call the spheres, they come in different levels. Some of it deals with things that are in our world. Some of it deals with things that are beyond our world. Some deal with things that we don't even begin to have any understanding of what it's about. And you ask yourself, what's the point of that hanhaga? The answer is, the point of that hanhaga is that it's mekusha to us. In other words, I might be in an elevator on the second floor. How high can the elevator go? It depends where's the elevator tied to. In other words, what floor is it tied to at its highest? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga starts with El Yoinim, and it even goes to Tachtonim, so that together it's a Sheva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the different diagrams of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga, the spheres, they start with things that are beyond us, and they bring us up to where he is. That's the shleimus of this Shevach, of this Hal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we're holding by Betzeis Yisrael, and okay.
You're ordering dinner? You're ordering dinner?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. But he lives with...